Right, I don't have any comments either. Is there any public comment regarding the final budget for Fire District? Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct the Comptroller to move forward with the Story County Fire Protection District 2023-2024 final budget as discussed.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Jennifer. Moving right along to item number 27 is to recess to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us to item number 28, which is discussion for possible action. Review and possible direction of the Story County Water and Sewer on the Story County Water and Sewer 23-24 final budget updates. Comptroller McCain.
Good afternoon. Still Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller. Our water and sewer budget, unfortunately, when I had to submit for this meeting, had no changes in it. However, since that week has passed, Jason Worsbisky and I have worked to create some avenues of where we can possibly trim some expenses in the water fund and bring the revenues and expenses closer together. We also did find a double entry of approximately $31,000 for SPB utilities, which will automatically bring that deficit down to $20,000 from the $50,000. So we feel pretty confident that we can get that closer into a range that's acceptable. Jason and his team are also working on with their excess budget for this current year to possibly try to purchase some equipment or parts needed for plant maintenance and external system maintenance before June 30th, which will alleviate the pressure on next year's budget.
Wonderful.
That's all I have for the water and sewer budgets.
Great. Thank you very much, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this budget?
Do not.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this budget item? Or this budget, excuse me. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Sorry, I just need to scroll to it. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct the Comptroller to move forward with the Story County Water Sewer 2023-2024 final budget as discussed.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 29, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 30, which is discussion for possible action. Review and possible direction on the Story County 23-24 final budget updates. Comptroller McCain.
Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. This is weird for me. We usually do this one first. So the general fund, we do have one change in the revenues, and that is for the Senior Center School Lunch Program. That was solidified. We've added $375,000 to the revenue for that contract, as well in the senior center budget, there's an equal $375,000 expense that was added. This is bringing our current projected ending fund balance with that change and a few expense changes we'll be discussing to approximately $13.3 million, and that's down slightly from our last meeting. We don't anticipate very many changes before the May 16th submission of the final budget, but as I go through the various departments and funds, I will give you a heads up on the ones that I know about. So our commissioner's office is seeing a total increase of 1.6 in their expenses. This is for a postage budget that we put in. Their office is expecting a very large certified mailing for the lands bill, and we wanted to make sure that we were had that ample budget in there to take care of that. There's also an increase in professional services of $30,000. We're looking at several options for a PR project, and that those contracts aren't signed, the interviews aren't completed, so we wanted to make sure we had enough money with whichever decision the county was wanted to go for that. In the assessor's office, we had a change in a position. The assessor has decided that a part-time position would not fully help her office and requested to have that changed to a full-time position. This resulted in a 2.4% change in wages and benefits. In the sheriff's office, we had several changes on top of the CBA changes that we discussed last time. We have an equipment maintenance increase in that line item for a newly acquired side-by-side for off-road patrols. That increase is $4,500. That will be for new tires and equipment to make that vehicle safer. In communications, we had an increase of $8,500 for a few radios that he found the need to update. Our maintenance agreement has a significant increase of $54,000. The Sheriff's Department has realized that the body camera contract that we're currently involved in is not necessarily the best body cameras, and they're having some recording issues and some safety issues. So they're working with the DA's office to find out if we can get out of the existing contract. One item that is not budgeted here is the second year of that existing contract. If I will be adding that in case we have to just pay off the contract to get out of it and have better equipment for our deputies out there. Furniture and fixtures, it was decided with the new Lockwood substation and the temporary tri-station that some new furniture was a necessity. So we've added $8,800 there. And we have decreased inmate food line item. The sheriff has opted to go with the senior center, providing the meals for the inmates and after work between the senior center and the sheriff. That is decreasing from $60,000 to $45,000. On top of that contract, we did leave a little bit of extra room. So if for some reason they run out of milk on a Sunday and they have to run it in, store to grab a gallon of milk, they have money in their budget to do those kind of things. All of these changes are resulting in an increase in service and supplies of approximately 14%. The Justice Court budget, we overlooked her wages and benefits with the signing of the Sheriff's CBA. The Justice Court does provide what they currently provide is one deputy, and they're able to use that deputy as a bailiff. The judge and the sheriff have decided to go a little bit of a different way, and we have changed that from one full-time deputy, one position, to two part-time deputies that could possibly be up to a step five position. It does result in an increase because of the new CBA, but overall the two part-time deputy fives will result in an overall decrease from a full-time deputy one because of the benefits. In communications, we revamped their whole payroll spreadsheet, trying to get a better number for the overtime. As you probably remember that every time I come up here during the quarter and at the end of the year, their budget is significantly over for overtime. So what we have done is not only figured out exactly what their scheduled overtime is, because they work 12-hour shifts, so every pay period, everyone has a four-hour automatic overtime. We've also taken a portion of the leave that all the employees have available, which when a dispatcher takes annual or sick leave, they have to replace that with another dispatcher who is now getting overtime. So we have a significant increase in the overtime alone of 18%. We've budgeted usually about 40,000, 45,000. Their scheduled overtime for next year is gonna be upwards of $38,000. So it was a necessary jump. This is an area we've been fighting with for years and years. And while everything we try, we still, with that scheduled overtime, we have to budget a different way. So that's the area we went with that. Also in the communications department, she is a thing that we are going to be adding is she's looking for ordering two, they're called consulettes, and they are like a mobile radio station that if I don't quite understand the whole logistics of this, I don't know if she's on, that can she get, Becky can explain this to you. But they are like a use in an emergency situation type of mobile radio for them to use. So we are looking at adding approximately $25,000 to her capital improvement budget to get that going. I guess she's not here. And then the senior center, again, their budget is adding that $375,000 for the school lunches. Our planning department has an increase in professional services. After many discussions, we have decided that the housing needs assessment, we had under budgeted for that. We budgeted initially $110,000, and it is looking like it's going to cost upwards of $150,000, so I have made that adjustment. We have a few outstanding payroll issues that we're trying to resolve on the various departments. Nothing is major. It was a couple of reclasses that got left behind and a few part-time positions in the sheriff's office. In buildings and grounds, we are going to be adding some repairs and maintenance on county heaters, possibly an air conditioner, and I did get word today that the bathrooms down at the Lockwood Park, the rust and on the latches and the hinges and the conditions of the doors are now a safety issue, so we are adding that to the budget so that can be taken care of right away. The sheriff's office is also looking at adding a medical professional. This contract will not only do blood draws for DUIs, we'll do inmate health evaluations when they're brought into the jail or if they happen to get sick while they're in our custody. These people will be, the doctor and his nurse will be on call 24/7 to take care of these issues. This will alleviate deputies from having to drive up and down the hill to transport inmates or people for blood draws, save time on their behalf. This contract is looking like it'll be added at about $36,000 for the year. And that's all I have for the general fund. If you have any questions before I move on to our special funds.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions? Vice Chairman?
I have just one, and it has to do with changing the meals provider at the jail. I seem to remember that it wasn't too long ago that we made a change there to use a local private sector business to provide those. Is that a correct remembrance?
Yes. Currently, the Roasting House is providing those lunches. I believe that contract is expiring at the end of the year, which is why our new sheriff had the option to move somewhere else.
Okay. Okay, and I get. I mean, to me, it seems like a fairly significant shift in kind of the philosophy of how we're providing those services from using local businesses to bringing it in-house. And I just wonder if maybe that's something that not necessarily on this particular item, but overall, we may want to discuss how much we want to use local services from the private sector when it's possible to support our local business community, and how much we want to bring in-house and provide as government services for things like that when something comparable is there. I don't know if they were given an option to bid to extend the contract or not, but that to me seems like a pretty substantial philosophical change in how we provide those services.
I don't know if the sheriff is on. I do know before we went out to the general public and our businesses, the senior center did not have the staffing or the intent to provide that service. Mm-hmm. Since Stacy has changed the way the senior center is doing business and moving on to the school lunches, she does have the facility and the staffing to now provide that as an internal service within the county. I think that was probably a significant reason for both going out to public entities as well as now pulling it back in. I don't know if Sheriff Cullen is on, but if he'd like to comment any more on what transpired this.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, basically it was just a cost savings. We're looking at... Can you hear me?
Yeah, we lost you for a sec, Sheriff. But you're good.
Oh, okay. We're just looking at a cost savings, and after speaking with Stacy and looking at some of the numbers, it figured like it was the best idea and the best route as far as cost savings on inmate food. And that's a simple answer. you know, it was never really discussed about putting it out to bid to any local businesses. I don't know that any local businesses will be able to outbid Stacy with what she has to offer.
And I would like to add that Stacy's offering the entire, encompassing the entire meal program, where with the Roasting House, they provided meals, but I think Sheriff can also give more information on this. The sheriff also had to send a deputy down to buy milk or various beverages. We had to order our own fresh fruit, for example. So it was a multifaceted approach. Even though we went with a public entity, there was still a lot of cumbersome work that had to happen inside. If we got an extra inmate on the weekend, they had to pull a Hungry Man dinner out of the freezer because there wasn't enough food on board. So this is a situation where I think they can work closer together and create a more seamless program. He won't. It's just going to be those little incidences where they might have to go to the store for something.
Sure, understood. And I'm not necessarily questioning the wisdom of this particular decision, but I think we should be very intentional as an organization about what approach we take to these kind of issues, and be realizing there's an impact when we make a decision like that. And I know we're very sensitive in multiple areas of not competing with private industry. This may not be one of those cases, but I know that, for example, with the VCTC and providing shuttle service, which is needed, it's something we need in the town, we're very sensitive about not competing needlessly with private industry that provides the same thing. So I think, and it's not necessarily something that, you know, a reason to hold up the budget, but I think personally going forward, I'd like to have some more conversation about where we stand as far as the balance between using local business, supporting local business when and where we can, and what services it makes sense to bring in-house and to provide as a governmental service subsidized by tax dollars.
If I may add to that, I think the other side of that coin is being very aware of whose money we are spending. And that's our taxpayers' dollars, and being able to be very conservative and get the best bang for our buck, if you will, with that, and using an internal department and having that service provided in-house, especially in this situation, is definitely respecting our taxpayers. And, you know, quite honestly, some of them might not be able to afford a lunch at the Roasting House and have feelings about providing those kind of meals to our inmates.
Understood. And with all due respect to the Comptroller, if the Roasting House is not given an opportunity to bid against, I don't think it's a fair comparison.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jennifer, thank you for that last comment.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, Jennifer. Any other comments from the Commission? No? All right. Are you done?
I have special funds to talk about, if that's okay.
Are you done with me? Let me just ask the public real quick.
Okay.
Is there any public comment regarding what's been discussed so far? All right. Please.
Okay. I don't have very much to talk about here, except our emergency mitigation and infrastructure funds. I'm going to talk about them together, because both of these funds are transferring money into the Capital Projects Fund. We received $800,422 for ARPA money during COVID, and this was earmarked to go towards the B Street Water Project. With the approval of the infrastructure ordinance that we did a while ago, $800,000 from our infrastructure is also going to match that. So the project is estimated at being $1.6 million, and because it was coming from two separate funds, it was decided that transferring that money into capital and tracking that project out of one fund was going to be a lot easier. So you'll see that transfer out of emergency mitigation and infrastructure and into the Capital Projects Fund, which brings me to the Capital Projects Fund and the revenue that we just discussed. As well, we have decided that because the federal appropriations have no designation on where that money needs to be deposited into, we are depositing the appropriations into the Capital Projects Funds as our Fire Station 71 and the Senior Center in Lockwood and the Fairground projects will all be completed out of the Capital Projects Fund. With that, I have updated the timelines and the amount of money we're expecting to spend on those projects next year. I'm hoping that we get to that place of completion. These are very large projects, except for the fairgrounds, which is a large project on its own. But these multi-million dollar projects, we can't expect to have them completed in 1 year when they probably won't start until October. We have also had an additional IT project, which was decided that it needed to be added to our capital projects fund under IT. This will be a multi-year project, and it is to bring fiber and fiber internet to our residents and our businesses. This is, again, another project that will take much longer than a year. $1.5 million is our first phase, and we'll have more on that as that project begins and starts to come about. Additional projects that were not included in this budget. After discussing the options of the one federal appropriation that Laura talked about earlier for the Lockwood substation, not the Lockwood, the Tri substation, to make room for an ample substation that would include an evidence room and a jail, we are looking at possibly moving Public Works out of the Tri building and building them their own area. This would provide more room for the sheriff's office as well, give Public Works more needed room and alleviate the exhaust that permeates the building during, you know, snow plowing. They have to keep their trucks running and those kinds of things. So that's an area that we are looking at. It's not a project that will be fully engulfed in the next year. So the projected amount currently is $2 million. We budgeted approximately 33% for the fall next year. Also a project that we found while developing the Tri area is we do not really have a suitable public restroom on one side of that building. We have an employee restroom, and Mike Northern and his team are looking at remodeling that, if you will, to create a female and a male restroom with several stalls, ADA compliant. The current budget for that is $50,000. After going through a few things, I actually, this morning, opted that how our projects go, $50,000 is probably not going to be enough to do a bathroom remodel, knock down some walls. So I maybe didn't bump it up enough as I'm talking, but I did bump that up to $75,000. So we have a little bit of a contingency there. Also, in our grant fund, we have done a lot of work to fine-tune this. We have several grant projects that are included here in the revenue and the expenses. One is the Long Valley Flood Study. Senior Center has a grant that's going to help with the food pantry portion of the Senior Center that's going out there, as well as a Meals on Wheels vehicle for Lockwood. We have additional OVH grants for the Sheriff's Office to obtain another off-road vehicle and to provide support for that vehicle. One item that is not in the budget that was presented to you is a trailer to house that off-road vehicle because they can't leave it out in the weather. With that, that's all I have for right now. I don't really expect too many other changes, but again, May 16th, the final budget will be presented to you. You'll have all the packets for your signatures so that we can turn them into taxation.
Thank you, Jennifer.